What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome to a Mailbag Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as the Browns return to work here and turn their attention to the Oakland Raiders, who come to town this Sunday. And the Browns hope to keep the Raiders winless at First Energy Stadium, a 4:25 kickoff. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea today. And as we said, it is a Mailbag Wednesday, so go ahead and tweet the show. Tweet at Browns underscore daily. Tweet at Nathan Zagura. Tweet at Matt Wilhelm 57. And use the hashtag mailbag for any and all Browns questions. We'll be answering and dipping into that mailbag at about 1:30. At 1:45, we'll have the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine's press conference upon returning to work here today in Berea. And in the second hour, Michael Guy will take over for me as I go off to shoot Sunday strategy, and Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram will be with him in studio at 2:15. Matt, how you doing today, brother? Good to be with you.
I am doing great, and the reason why is because I am over the loss. Again, you said
we've moved on. We're on to Oakland.
Tie a bow and ship it off to nowhere, because that's what it means to us at this point. And we are on to the Oakland Raiders, and we are optimistic about another victory this week against a team that we should beat. We'll talk about why we should beat them and what is wrong with the Oakland Raiders and what is going to right the ship for the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly, and we're going to figure that out. We're going to start to get into this game. We're going to get into the matchups. I'm going to talk with Matt about a lot of topics here on the show. We're going to talk with you about a lot of topics on the show, 216-578-0850. And our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day with the Browns back to work is, what scares you on the Raiders' offense? Is there anything that kind of gives you a little bit of pause here today? And then, can you even name five Raiders? I can name five Raiders.
Don't cheat. We're talking about no cheating. No Google, no ESPN.com.
Right.
Can you call in or tweet us and name five Raiders?
I think so. And do you think that's the franchise that at one point was at a very high level that's fallen on the hardest times in the NFL? And finally, if you're Kyle Shanahan, we're going to give you the headset. We're going to give you the play sheet. How do you attack this Oakland Raiders defense? What do you want to do to this defense? And it's a defense that's got a lot of elder statesmen on it. That's kind of been the way that they have gone about constructing that defense, signing a lot of guys in free agency this year. They brought in Justin Tuck. They brought in, of course, Lamar Woodley. You bring in Charles Woodson. You've got Khalil Mack. So they brought in Carlos Rogers.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of guys that have been, you know, around the league, a lot of veterans on defense who have not yet really made a huge impact so far for this team, as they've struggled a little bit on that defensive side of the ball. They're going to play a 4-3 against the Browns, which is what the Browns saw last week in Jacksonville. And so it's going to be interesting. But let us know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, how are you going to attack this Raiders defense? Now, let me ask you this. You used to play for the San Diego Superchargers, so you would come across, obviously, you'd come across to the East Coast and play games. Is this a big benefit for the Raiders that this is a 4:25 kick as opposed to a 1 p.m. Eastern kick? And how does that factor into their preparation?
It definitely does benefit them. It's still very tough, and that's why, you know, I think this is a great topic to touch upon, because it is still something that the Cleveland Browns will have an advantage with, because that means the Oakland Raiders will be wrapping their practice, and in most cases, the West Coast teams travel on a Friday to the East Coast. So they'll be arriving here in the evening on Friday, settling in. Maybe you'll see some of them out and about around town, regardless of where they stay, you know, grabbing dinner and then settling in. They'll probably take, you know, have their walkthroughs. They'll go over to First Energy Stadium, make themselves comfortable in the stadium, the locker rooms, kind of do their walkthrough. Obviously not showing much either on the field because of the Spygate possibility. But then also, again, you know, getting back to the hotel, having some time in the afternoon, but settling in, because that time zone change is very significant. And early in my career, it actually, you know, it worked against you, because there's a lot of distractions when you travel. When you have a lot of time, guys want to goof around and lollygag, and you feel like you're getting away from your preparation. So the tighter the coaches can keep you on schedule and keep your mind on the task at hand, which is a football game on Sunday late afternoon, the better.
So when you go on Friday, does it, you know, now you got two nights out of town, you got two nights in another city. I would imagine, do players go out on that Friday night because Saturday is kind of a chill day?
The rule of thumb for every team that I've been a part of, you know, and again, as you said, being with the San Diego Chargers, traveling on Fridays, we'd have a midnight curfew. So that meant, you know, in some cases, if you get into a city around, you know, 7, 8 p.m., you don't have any obligations that Friday night. You're in, as long as you check in your hotel. Guys literally run upstairs, you know, change out of their suits into jeans, you know, and laid back. And some of them have already made dinner reservations. They're going to those reservations. And also, too, because especially a team like the Oakland Raiders with a you know, guys that have played other places, you know, on the East Coast and maybe even, you know, played in the AFC North who've visited Cleveland before. They know where to go and
like
where not
to. Like Osama Young's on this team, played for the Browns.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've scouted out the restaurants. They've scouted out some of the places they could go grab a beer. So scout out some of the places they could go get in trouble. And as long as they're in by midnight, and if a lot of times when you hear about guys missing meetings, it's usually, as we saw with Geno Smith earlier, talking about the time zone change out in California. They went west, and he screwed up the time. So guys come east, they screw up the time as well. But it's more so than anything, the guys that are smart, the guys are that are contributing, you know, in most cases, I'd say if they're out of 22, 17 out of the 22 are being smart because they're preparing themselves for a performance on Sunday. A lot of these guys are towards the end of their career. Some of these guys are hungry for a contract, or in some cases at 0-6 or 0-7, they're showcasing their abilities for another football team, and that matters.
And does it matter when you see, you know, you look at this team, and let's look at their defensive starters or the probable starters according to the Raiders. Lamar Woodley, 8th season. Antonio Smith, 10th season. Justin Ellis is a rookie, selected in the 4th round of the draft. He was at Louisiana Tech. Justin Tuck is in his 10th season. So that's their defensive line. The linebackers, you've got C.O. Moore in his 2nd year, 3rd round pick for the Raiders in 2013. Miles Burris in his 3rd season. He was a 4th round pick in 2012. Then you got Khalil Mack, who they took first overall this year, 5th. Overall in the draft, he was their first pick. 0 sacks so far. And then in the defensive backfield, you got Terrell Brown, 8th season. Carlos Rogers, 10th season. Charles Woodson, 17th season. And Usama Young, 8th season. This is not a young defense by any stretch of the imagination. But does that help them when they're traveling? But at the same time, I can't imagine, you know, when you do travel like that and you're farther along in your career, your body might not adjust to it as quickly as these 22-year-old guys out there.
Not only does it not adjust, but in some cases, because they're such a veteran team, you in some cases, and it might have happened, I don't know the ages of the coaches, but you have players on this team that are older than some of the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
So in some cases, that voice doesn't hold as much merit with you as a player when you're in your 8th, 9th, 10th, or above season. So in some cases, you're like, just leave me alone. Thing, you know what you expect out of me. I'm not going to do anything different. You know I'm not going to get in trouble, so leave me alone. And those are some of the guys. And the point I'm trying to make is a guy like Charles Woodson can stroll in at 12:15 or 12:30 and, you know, meander into his hotel room, and security's going to look the other way because it's Charles Woodson and he's in his 17th season. What is Tony Sperano not going to start him? You know, so there's those kind of those old hat tricks of and again, when you can get away with when you've been in the NFL for so long, and for Charles Woodson, who's on his second visit out with the Oakland Raiders.
So this is interesting to me because I bet a lot of people don't know about this. All right. So you're on a road trip. You've got curfew. Okay, so it's,
yes,
we'll call it midnight on Friday night. What's it, probably 10 on
it
Saturday?
It was 11 every place I'd been before.
11 on Saturday?
Correct.
Okay, so midnight. So what happens? Are there people verifying that people are in their rooms? Is it a random, they check 5 rooms randomly, and if you're there, great. How strict is this curfew? Do you have to, like, if you're boys with the security guy, can you stroll in a little bit later? Who's the monitor of this curfew? Break this down, because I think this is actually interesting.
You just asked me, like, 7 questions, and I have answers for all of them. Okay, so to let you guys know, so there's a team of probably, I would say, per team, 5 to 9 security members. A lot of the guys that, you know, work the front doors here in Berea,
sure,
would travel with the team, or in some cases they hire some off-duty policemen to travel with the team that I have relationships with. So they'll travel with the team, and what will happen is there will be one of them stationed in the lobby of the hotel, you know, kind of like making sure everybody, and then that guy's kind of the warning guy, like, hey, you got 5 minutes, you got 3 minutes, or if you're right on time, they'll also say, hey, and then I'll name the guy. The guy's name was Dick Lewis. He's a former FBI agent who worked for the San Diego Chargers, still doing it out in San Diego with the Chargers. He was the lead guy. And so he was like, he's already on the 11th floor. So in some cases when you travel, you'll have, like, say the 11th, 12th, and 13th floor, you know, that are all player, you know, player floors. And he's like, Dick got started. He goes, if you're on 11, you're kind of screwed right now. Are you on 12th or 13th? You better get up there quick. And so what they would do is a team of these security guys would, and again, both on Friday and Saturday night, it's not random. They hit every single door.
Every
knock,
door.
Knock, knock, knock. You know, they and all they want to do is walk in and see your face, you know, in your room, and close. You don't have to be in your bed. You don't have to have the TV off. It's just they verified that you're in the hotel and you're in your specified room.
Must you be alone?
Must you be alone? Very good question. I was going there next. Is in some cases, that's where, you know, you get the wives or girlfriends or, you know, the other girlfriend, you know, from out of town, hiding in the shower, you know, hiding behind the shower curtain, in the closet, laying down on the floor, you know, in between the beds.
Like, even your wife, like, you, they would get, they would not want the wife there.
No. It's a business trip. Exactly. You said it best. And so, but it, again, having spent 8 years with multiple personalities, you've heard it and seen it all.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Were there any funny curfew stories from your days?
Funny curfew stories. I mean,
not from you, obviously.
No, definitely not.
Of course not.
But to go back to one of your last questions is, there was guys, you know, guys, again, veteran guys who built relationships with, you know, with, in this case, Mr. Dick Lewis, the head security guy, who you'd give him a call and say, "Hey dude, I'm stuck in a cab in downtown Manhattan," you know, when you're playing the Jets or
this
Giants.
"This Uber's taking forever, bro."
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. I can't believe it.
Exactly. I should have went Uber black car. This is messed up. You know, and I'm on my
Uber
way.
X.
Or in some, you're gonna go, "Dick, you know what? I'm gonna be out. I'll be back by 2, but I'll sneak in and I'll make sure," and he would protect the guy. You know, if they weren't out getting in trouble, you know, or doing anything stupid, he would protect a few guys on the team. But some of the younger guys, you know, I'd say first year, you know, rookie, first year, second year players, third year players, he had to abide by the book. It's those guys that had been on that team for years, or
yeah,
a veteran,
yeah,
free agent from another team who's well-established, like a guy like Charles Woodson, kind of gets the free pass.
I'm trying to remember who it was. I know there was a game when a team went to Seattle. I think it may have been a wide receiver for the Jags, now that I think about it, who missed curfew and all of a sudden was just surprised inactive the next day.
Yeah. But, I mean, look at Barrett Robbins in the Super Bowl. Dude went to Mexico and didn't come back.
He was having serious issues.
Bangkok's got him now.
Bangkok's got him now. That's right. He's lost. Bangkok's got
Tijuana
him now.
Tijuana has him now.
So the Browns back to work here. Now we know what the Raiders are going to be dealing with when they come to Cleveland.
Exactly. They'll be hit down in the flats.
They'll be down in
the wink, no, wink.
Wink, that's right. We'll send them to the flats. So they can have a good time.
Exactly.
Knock yourselves out down there. We'll see what happens. So they're coming east to west, and that was one of the things I know you wanted to get into, because I think it is an interesting dynamic. And another interesting dynamic is, for this Raiders team, if you think about it, they are traveling all over the place, and no team is going to log more miles of travel this year than the Oakland Raiders. Remember, they just went to London, then they were home, and now they're coming back out this way, all the way back east. They have a lot of games. I think they're flying this season 36,106 miles. That's their 2014 travel miles. That is most in the NFL by over 10,000 miles. They have 4 2,000-plus-mile trips. Going to London and then coming back and then now coming out to Cleveland, is it an annoyance to players? What is that like? How do you guys view that kind of travel? Because you had to do it a lot. You were in San Diego, so pretty much, unless you were staying in California or maybe playing the Arizona Cardinals, you were traveling.
We were traveling, and I'll say this: it was it's fun when you're winning. When you're winning, those trips are awesome. You know, you get to, again, see the country. You get to, you know, eat in some of the top restaurants. You know, for me personally, I'd always go to the Nike Town in Seattle. That was one of my favorites, to go up to Seattle. Not necessarily a two-day trip, but I was at the San Diego Chargers when we went and played the New Orleans Saints in London. And, you know, after we lost to the Buffalo Bills, so we went, you know, flew West Coast to East Coast, got beat by the Buffalo Bills. You know, then we flew right after the game right over to London. We literally got there at like noon the next day, or like 9 a.m. the next day. That trip to me, and that's a whole another ball of wax, which we'll get into, is that whole London team concept.
Bad.
Dude, I am
brutal.
If I'm a free agent, I'll take less money to stay in the States,
right,
than to go play in London. Just talk about not seeing your family or raising your children, you know, in another country. It's just, I don't see it being a great fit, and I think it's something that the Players Association will continue to fight, but it's tough, and I would say it's very tough, and that's the, what Tony Sperano has to do a great job of is really monitoring the psyche of the players in this locker room, because not only are you traveling, again, as you said, more miles than anybody, but you're getting beat.
Right, so when you were winless and you're on a trip, is it much easier to get distracted?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, well, what are we playing for? You know, we're mathematically—
Better make sure we have a good time in Cleveland.
You know, with Denver and San Diego in your division as well, you're mathematically out of the division probably at this point in your season. So
yeah,
what are you playing for? And that's where what we hope doesn't happen in the Cleveland Browns locker room after a series of, you know, of tough losses, which we're going to, as I said, right the
Not
ship.
Not going to have.
But
your, right. mind
starts, your mind starts to wander. You start to wonder about, you know, do I want to play here next year? You know, are they going to pay me here next year? And if not, where are they going to pay me? And you start actually having conversations with acquaintances or friends on other teams, and you start literally daydreaming about what life would be like being in a playoff picture somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you're smack dab in the middle of the season collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars to play a game for a living, and you want to be somewhere else. That's what happens when you're in that losing culture, and that's what the Oakland Raiders are struggling with right now.
Certainly are. Losers of 12 straight dating back to last year, 1-13 in their last 14 on the road dating back to 2012. The chips are all set up for the Cleveland Browns to get a win. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Matt and I will get into what we would do if we were Kyle Shanahan running the show here. As the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, strolls down the hall, throws a peace sign, and says, "Hey, let's get a win this Sunday.
Come on.
Come on now, Brown. Here we go, Brown. Let's get." And well, you know what we need? What we didn't have in Jacksonville. There's one thing we didn't have in Jacksonville that we needed. You know what it was? Hose down,
Browns. And also, what we didn't have is we didn't have the kid on Friday.
No, the kid. I think there's something to be learned there.
There's some merit there.
Connect the dots. All right. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford.